Kia ora, I'm Witty Donna, or Bianca. Today we're here to talk about my new EP, In My Chambers. It's a 6-track rock record.
The last time we had you on Totally Wired was when you released Being Alone. Do you think your approach to this new EP is different from the way you approached making music back in 2022?
Being Alone was a record that was, it felt like a bit of a diary for me, and I think I'm still writing music and approaching songwriting in the same way of it sort of being very reflective of my personal journey. But I think Being Alone, what it ultimately ended up being was like what I had the tools around me at the time to do, and it was sort of like, okay, I go through and I write these songs, and then I workshop them with the band, and then we'll record them as we've played them live, and following these steps of being like, this is the process and I'm walking the path. And it was a very new process for me in terms of what holding my own project looks like and how to treat these songs that were very personal in a way that I was then gonna like present them to other people. And so it was just this whole process of learning and discovering new things and trying to figure out what I enjoyed about the process or what I enjoyed about the songwriting or the production of it all. Inherently, nothing's really changed about that apart from feeling like I have more of a desire to sort of push the boundaries. Like I can play around with something, or if I want to push it in another direction because I think that's what's right for the song, I'm totally happy or excited to go through that process. Like we had so many production changes in the way that we, I guess, produced this EP in terms of wanting to drive it in a rockier direction, a heavier direction, because that's what the songs felt like they needed.
Where do you think this shift towards heavier style music came from? What inspired that?
It was anger. I don't like to think of myself as an angry person, but I like doing angry things in the hopes that it will prevent more destruction. Do you know what I mean? Write an angry song, so then it's like how they that quip of like how they talk about how like metal, because dudes that play metal music are like the happiest people in the world because they get all of their emotions out in their music, and then they can just, you know, spend the rest of their lives being joyous and chill. I started talking to James Goldsmith very early on when I went to him, being like, I think the record, the word I used at the time was doom, a doom record, because I was feeling very doom spirally at the time. Obviously it's not a doom record, that was just kind of, I didn't really know how to describe what I was wanting to do, and that was like the closest thing. But yeah, I think the sound was driven by these emotions that I was feeling that I didn't want to be feeling, that I just wanted to put into a space so I didn't have to hold them anymore. And that is where the heavy rock sounds came from. Yeah, worked very closely with James Goldsmith on this, and we recorded most of it at Surgery Studios in Newtown, and then some parts as well in his sort of home studio, also in Newtown. Very early on in the process, we demoed a bunch of the songs, or just even a few of the songs, just to sort of test out the waters. And we were doing a live session at Massey, and we demoed a collection of songs. And when we did that, myself, Harrison Scholes on bass, James McEwen on drums, Elliot Dawson on guitar, we had like the very bare bones of what we thought this record was going to be, and James was able to come into that process immediately and identify some parts where he's like, this is really great, but this has the potential to be a good pop song or like pop structured song, but you need to do some work on the structure in terms of you've got too many 7 minute one note guitar solos. No kidding, we didn't have any 7 minute one note guitar solos, but we had similar kind of, it's a little bit too self-indulgent moments, and he kind of helped identify that there needed to be some work done before we got to the recording process. And when we finally did go and record at surgery, we had a really clear vision of what we wanted to do in terms of just taking the process that we went through last time when we recorded Being Alone and sort of pushing the boundaries. We got to have like a little bit of a more is more mentality on the guitar sounds, and we also made sure that we took our time and we didn't rush through things. And although it was like me who wrote the songs and brought them to everyone, it felt like a super fun collaborative environment. So I think the gold for me is this song that came out of a time period where I was burnt out, so I took some time off work, and it was during this time process that I was really finishing this record. And so I was writing this song about the idea of feeling like when you're constantly chasing things, and you might eventually get to it, but when you get to that point, you know, you've been so fixated and you've been experiencing this intense tunnel vision for so long that you are kind of like a shell of the person that you were at the beginning. So was any of it really worth it in the first place? That was the mind spiral that I was going through while writing this one. And I like that it's got this like really fun pulsing riff to it, which one of the things we noticed during the recording process is James made me pull back the amount of times I was playing that main, like, din 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 din, that riff. He made me drop it out, because I think when I first demoed the song, it was just like almost throughout the entire song, because it was really fun to play. And sometimes I find it hard to make the decisions between whether or not something is good because it fulfills the sound that needs and the narrative of the song, or whether or not I just like hearing it because I like playing it over and over again. So he made some good calls in being like, this is a verse. You don't need to have this chaotic riff entirely through your verse, because then no one is going to know what you're talking about. Which I thought was really good advice, actually.
Breathing in out, he's taking your chances again. Are they taking your chances? Are they hurting? Couldn't feel less. Are they taking your chances again? Are they taking your friends in their
You're so angry at someone, you just want to get in their face and like finally say all of the things that you've been biting your tongue about for years. That's how I feel about this song. If I had the opportunity to say things that I just absolutely don't have the balls to, this is what it would be. It's got a fun groove to it and it just kind of bounces along the entire time. And it lets me monologue, and sometimes that's just what I need, is a good rant. And I feel better every time we play it live.
Can't stand the way that I walk, can't stand the way that I talk. Intimidated by big brain women who don't know anything. Anything. Give me something to rely on, my hill to die on. Quicksand now, and you're sinking like holes.
with Stop Charades, I think lyrically or like messaging wise, one of my favorites. I love this song. It's really special to me because I wrote it at a time where it was like watching someone that you love sort of lose themselves in a little bit, but you're also, you know, I was in a period where I was super burnt out and didn't have much of myself left either. So then it's like, how do you help somebody in that space? Or how do you give anything to that person when you've got nothing yourself? I sometimes still feel that way a little bit of just being like, I don't know how to help. I feel deeply connected to the song at the moment, always. In terms of how it came about sonically a little bit more, is I feel like this is a really nice bridge between feeling like I'm still writing in the same way or trying to communicate in the same way that I was in the first record with Being Alone. It feels very much like a very comforting style of writing, but then has more of that freeing like rock. I love the like hits and the choruses, or it just feels like it has this like explosive release moments and then like gets a little bit dreamy. So it fits in this like funny, or I think really perfect space between like what I used to be doing and then also aligning with the way that I want things to sound like now. funnest fact I have about this track is it's the only song I've ever written not in my own experience perspective, or it fits in this really funny space for me where it's about the idea of how do you get revenge on someone, or like fantasizing about the idea of getting even and how you'd pull one over. Or I feel very like Misery Business, Paramore vibes when I think about the narrative behind it. But then it still comes back to the idea of being like, oh, even if I could be that person who was gonna get revenge, I probably wouldn't be very good at it. Like the plan would not go the way that we anticipated, or I would chicken out at the last minute. I think that's why I quite like this song, in terms of that's not really a process of songwriting that I've gone through before in terms of like fictional narratives. And the reason why I had to like create this fictional narrative around it is because when we were recording the song, I had demoed it as almost like a completely different song, and James Goldsmith was like, no, it needs to be faster. And he kept pushing the song faster and faster when we went to start recording it, to the point that James McEwen was now playing like a drum and bass, like breakbeat kind of situation. And so when we went to actually start recording it, and I was doing the guide tracks for the lyrics that I had originally wrote for it, the melody was now too fast that I couldn't sing that first, like I couldn't sing the original words for the song. So for a really long time, we just basically got it to this chorus, and then I had to rewrite the verse, and then once I'd rewritten the verse, the chorus no longer made sense, so then I had to, like, we were almost like reverse engineering the song, and it ended up being something completely different than what it started as.
Baby, behavior's cool.
This was one of the songs that I had written like quite early on in the process, to the point that I'm pretty sure we were playing it live at the beginning of 2023, or even potentially while we were touring in 2022. I can't remember off the dome, but we'd played it live so many times and we got really attached to the way that we were playing it live, and it had this really indulgent outro. And obviously Sync, which is the song, the next song, also has quite an indulgent like outro to it. And when we demoed this with James, he had told us, like, you've got too many songs with indulgent outros and this song needs to have a better structure. And we almost had this like a couple of like battles with him over, he was so convinced that the structure that it has now is like was the right structure for the song, but we were all devastated about the way that we were going to have to change the way that we were playing it live. And we told him at the time, like, oh yeah, fine, we'll agree with you, we'll record it this way for the purpose of a, you know, 3.5 minute song, and I get your point, and that's really important that we, you know, find a middle ground for what's the best for a recorded setting, but we're still going to play it the same way that we always do live. And it took us all of like 2 minutes to realize that the way that James Goldsmith had suggested we play it was definitely the better way, and almost immediately they were like, yeah, we've got to play it, we've got to make this a 3 minute song instead of the indulgent outros.
Against the grains of the rolling currents, I get tied down faster than it lets up. But when it lets up, I am always on the up. Beating harder, feeling faster than the speed of light. There's not enough weight in this world to stop me from what I can and cannot fight on my own. Everybody!
so there's a scene in the movie Get Out where I can't even remember the main character's name right now, but he gets convinced to try this hypnotherapy to, you know, quit his filthy smoking habit. Little does he know he's getting himself into a dangerous, very bad situation. But when he gets hypnotized, the mother-in-law goes sink, and he sort of sinks into this couch and floats away, or floats into this scene. I don't even know how to describe it, where he's just floating in darkness. And we had a armchair at one of my old flats that, you know, we used to call it the sink chair, because it was kind of very similar to that chair in that movie. And we'd always make jokes about how we would sink into the abyss if we sat in the chair for too long. And you're listening to Totally Wired on 95, is that what I'm saying? I was literally about to say, and you're listening to the 95 BFM weather update. But that's not what we're listening to.